Prabhupada Saraswati, Srimana Zarangri, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Srila Prabhupada Chaja Srila Prabhupada, Nama Chaja Srila Harira Sadhur ki, Yamsi Baho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Sri Gaura Bhaktarindra ki, Samadeta Bhaktarindra ki, Jai Gaura Premanandra ki, All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sisi Guru and Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. This morning's text number 55, this is the final text of this chapter. So text 55.
Etavandivalokesmin
Etavandivalokesmin
Kumsasvaratparasmitah
This material world.
Of the living entity.
Swartha. The real self-interest.
Para.
Transcendental.
Smritaha.
Regarded.
Ekanta.
Bhakti. Unalloyed devotional service.
Govinde.
To Govinda.
Yat. Which.
Sarvatra. Everywhere.
Tat Ishanam.
Seeing the relationship with Govinda.
Krishna.
Translation. In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see him everywhere, is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained by all the revealed scriptures. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the words sarvatra tad ikshanam, there at the end, describe the highest perfection of devotional service, in which one sees everything with reference to Govinda's activities. The highly elevated devotee never sees anything unrelated to Govinda. Stavara jagama deki, nadeki taramurti, sarvatra haya nija ishta deva spurti. The Mahabhagavata, this is a translation, the Mahabhagavata, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. This is Majjhalila 8.274. Even in this material world, a devotee does not see materially manifested things. Instead, he sees Govinda in everything. When he sees a tree or a human being, a devotee sees them in relation to Govinda.
Govindam Adi Purusham. Govinda is the original source of everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit
Ananda Vigraha Nadir Adir Govinda Sarvakaranam Sarvakarana Karanam Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the supreme cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 5.1. The test of a perfect devotee is that he sees Govinda everywhere in this universe, even in every atomic particle. Andantasta paramanu chayantarastam. This is the perfect vision of a devotee. It is therefore said, Narayana mayam dhira. Those of you who are following in the books, there's a Sanskrit mistake here. I actually couldn't make sense of this verse, and I consulted with Dvijamani, my Sanskrit advisor. So here it says Narayanam Ayam, but it should be Narayana Mayam. The hyphen goes there. As you'll see, it's a parallel with other things in the verse. So it's Narayana Mayam Dhira Pashyanti Paramartinaha Jagat Dana Mayam Lubdha Kamuka Kamini Mayam. A devotee sees everyone and everything in relationship with Narayan, Narayana Mayam. Again, the Sanskrit's divided wrong here. It's Narayana Mayam. Narayana Mayam means, Mayam, the suffix Mayam means filled with, composed of, made of Narayan. Narayana Mayam. Everything is an expansion of Narayana's energy. Just as, and this is the verse, just as those who are greedy see everything as a source of money-making, and those who are lusty see everything as being conducive to sex, the most perfect devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, saw Narayana even within a stone column. This does not mean, however, that we must accept the words Daridra Narayana, which have been manufactured by some unscrupulous person. One who actually envisions Narayana everywhere makes no distinction between the poor and the rich. To single out the Daridra Narayanas, or poor Narayanas, and reject the Dhani Narayana, or rich Narayana, is not the vision of a devotee. Rather, that is the imperfect vision of materialistic persons. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namani Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Sunyavari Paschachade Satarane Om Gyanam Timuram Dasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Militam Jainam Asmai Sri Garave Namaha Vanshakalpa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhye Bachapatitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnave Yo Namo Namaha. So this is what Prahlad learned in the womb. So he says here, in this world, the swartha, the real self-interest of the living entity, paraha, it's transcendental, is to have, you know this word, ekanta bhakti. Ekanta bhakti means ekanta without any other end, single-minded. So Prabhupada here translates as unalloyed devotion in the word for word, ekanta bhakti. Those who have exclusive devotion to the Supreme Lord are called ekanta bhaktas, unalloyed devotional service. And he So though this Ekanta Bhakti Govinda, by which this bhakti, sarvatra tat ikshanam, everywhere he sees tat, that is to say, Govinda. He sees the Lord everywhere. This is the vision of the devotee. So Prabhupada is now quotes in reference to this, we'll get it up, this from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya speaks these words to Ramananda Roy, actually. He has just seen, Ramananda Roy, rather, has just seen Mahaprabhu. When he was looking at Mahaprabhu, suddenly he saw Krishna holding a flute. And then that dark form of Krishna holding the flute turned golden, changed color to gold, indicating Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but with the complexion and the emotions of Radharani. He says, I see that you are holding a flute to your mouth and your lotus eyes are moving very restlessly to various ecstasies. This is Madhya Leela, chapter 8. I actually see you in this way, and this is very wonderful. My dear Lord, please tell me without duplicity, what is causing this? So this is the Lord's answer. You have a deep love for Krishna, and one who has such deep ecstatic love for the Lord naturally sees things in such a way. Please take this from me to be certain. And then he says, Mahabhagavata Deki, a Mahabhagavata, first class devotee, Deki means he sees, Saravata Jagama, Stavara Jagama, those that are unmoving and those that are moving, Tan, here, everywhere, here and there, wherever he sees, Sri Krishna Spurana, he sees the manifestation of Krishna. And then this verse, Stavara Jagama, that Prabhupada quotes in the verse, Deki, Na Deki. The movable and the immovable, he sees and he does not see. Deki, Na Deki. He sees them, but not sees them. Does not see Taramurti, does not see their form. But rather, everywhere he sees Nija Ishta Deva Spurti, the manifestation of his Ishta Deva, the form of the Lord whom he is especially devoted. That's your Ishta Deva Spurti. The word Spurti, here Prabhupada is translated as manifestation. The dictionary gives Spurti as breaking forth visibly. Like if the sun suddenly comes out from behind the clouds, psh, that's a spurti, or a sudden manifestation, a sudden appearance or display, or a revelation. Some Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's a mystic revelation. So this is the spurti. He sees everywhere the manifestation of the Lord. And in his purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, due to his deep ecstatic love for Krishna, the Mahabhagavata sees Krishna everywhere and nothing else. As soon as a devotee sees something, be it movable or inert, he immediately remembers Krishna. An advanced devotee is advanced in knowledge. This knowledge is very natural to a devotee, for he has already read in Bhagavad Gita how to awaken Krishna consciousness. Then Prabhupada, rapsoham mapsukanteya, means that when we drink some water, we should think of Krishna. As Prabhupada said, thank you, Krishna, for satisfying my thirst. As when you see the sun and the moon, you should think of Krishna. One time Prabhupada was asked, Have you seen Krishna? And Prabhupada said, yes, and so have you. Have you seen the sun? Have you seen the moon? You have seen, we have seen, but we have not recognized. So seeing and the seeing things materially means seeing them in the form as seeing them as Maya. Maya means that which is not. And what is not? Something exists separately from Krishna. That's what makes it Maya. Something exists separately from Krishna. So that means when we see a world where things are separate from Krishna, we are seeing Maya. We don't see the real world. Prabhupada is quoted here, Sarva Karana Karanam, that Krishna is the absolute truth. That is to say, is the ultimate source of all energies. And if we see things, if we separate Krishna from Krishna's energies, there are various ways of doing this. Though we are in Maya. There's the materialists who want to say they are just energies and no Krishna. Another separation are the Mayavadis who say the absolute truth has no energies. That is really the Mayavad philosophy. Strictly speaking, this is what Shankaracharya says. Prabhupada makes this very clear in explaining how Lord Chaitanya addressed the sannyasis at Varanasi and spoke Vedanta to them. That this is actually what Shankaracharya teaches, that the absolute truth has no energies. Shankaracharya denies it. Now, the modern Mayavadis kind of soft-pedal this because it is really heavy. That's the idea that this is mitya. Mitya means it has no relationship to the Supreme Lord. Of course, they end up being kind of, it's all one. So while you're in Maya, then okay, everything is God. I can use everything to symbolize God or represent God. So if I stick my girlfriend on the altar and worship her, yeah, she's God. Everything's God too, you know. But the real doctrine is there are no energies. There's just one homogeneous absolute truth, and what we see as the energies is simply Maya. It does not come from the absolute truth. It's a question, whose Maya is it? If it's the absolute truth is in Maya, then the Maya is greater than the absolute truth. It can't be the Jiva's Maya because the Jivas exist because of Maya already. So you got this unanchored sort of Maya that, well, they really have to end up saying anirvachaniya can't be spoken of either as existing or not existing. I don't know where to put it. But what Mahaprabhu really shows very clearly is that the actual teachings of the Vedanta Sutra is that the absolute truth has energies. And that means the absolute truth is a person. When we speak of the controller, we always mean a person. And this is the actual teaching of Vedanta, of the Vedas. So he is everywhere. Now there's the problem for the Vedantas. You know, ekam eva advitiyam Brahman. Brahman is that besides which there is no second thing. Ekam eva advitiya, without any second thing. This is one of the definitions of absolute. Absolute means not relative. Relative means not in relationship with anything else. And so if you focus in on that and say, you say, well, if there's the absolute truth and a world, then it's relative. So that can't be there. It can't be. This is how they come to this conclusion. They do, if even Christians have thought this way. There was a famous Lutheran Mayavadi theologian named Paul Tillich, who said that God cannot be the supreme being among all beings, because that would limit him to being one among many. And therefore, God is the ground of being. Well, first he said being itself, and then that seemed too relative. He said the ground of being, whatever that is. And this way you speculate your way into Mayavadi philosophy. If God is one among many, he's limited by having a world or by having other creatures. This is how they come to this conclusion. This Mayavadi conclusion. Of course, it's really funny. If you get rid of everything else, you end up, you follow this line of logic, you end up with nothing. Of course, it's the divine nothing. It's nothing with a capital N. I've seen this done. This negation, you're going to have the greatest of all, but you end up with zip. The actual answer is, of course, that God is not in duality. He is supremely absolute, and at the same time, he is actually supremely relative. We make a big deal of the fact that Krishna has relatives. He has a mother, he has a father. He's really relative. He's more relative than anybody. And at the same time, he's absolute. We don't take one half of a duality and say this is the real one and this is the false one. Of course, you can't speculate your way to this. And he has a world and he's related to the world. But does that world limit him? That he's, I mean, if God can have no world, if he can have no, he can't do this, he can't do that. I mean, aren't you chopping him down to size by why you're saying you're making him, realizing his greatness? So that's why the philosophy, as propounded by Mahaprabhu, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, really solves the problem, because there's Krishna and there's Krishna's energies, but at the same time Krishna includes his energies. So Prabhupada once pointed out that the words Hare Krishna, that those two words denote all of reality, the entire ontology in two words, because there's Krishna and there's Hare Krishna and Krishna's energies, and that's all it is. And Krishna has this relationship with the energies, that this Bheda Abheda Tattva. And of course the example given by Jiva Goswami, the sun and the sun's rays. That's it, between something and its potencies. On the one hand, we have to distinguish. Here, this, when I say the sun is in the room, I don't mean that the sun globe is sitting here burning on the floor. The sun's rays are coming in through the window. So we make a distinction between the sun and the sun rays. On the other hand, can you tell me where the sun stops and the rays begin? And from another point of view, it's one thing, one coherent process. You can't distinguish. So Krishna and Krishna's energies, yeah, that's all, and Krishna's energies are one. Yeah, there's only one thing. But there's variety, there's differentiation within the absolute truth. This is our nirvishesha. We reject that. We say savishesha. There are differentiation. There are varieties. As Prabhupada told me once, there are different kinds of Brahman. We were in a morning walk in New Vrindavan, I was a fairly new devotee at that time, and there was Prabhupada was explaining how actually everything is spirit. And he gave the example, since we were in the woods, he said that this wood is actually fire in another form. That the tree has taken in the sunlight, and now that sunlight is stored in the wood. So wood is just this sunlight, this fire in another form, and if you ignite it, it comes back out again. So he said, the same way everything is spirit. And I really got bewildered And when I got my chance, I asked Prabhupada my question. I said, I'm trying really hard to understand the difference between matter and spirit, that I'm not this body. And so to me, it's really important. And now you're telling me that everything is spirit, so I'm confused. And what he said to me, he looked at me and he said, we are not Mayavadis. He said, there are different kinds of spirit. That's what he said. So ultimately, everything is spirit. Everything is spirit. Also means related to Krishna, and everything is Krishna's energy. So we have our this achincha beta beta tattva. Achincha means by speculation we'll not get there. But it's also a darshan. It's how we should see. It's tad ikshanam. We should see this way. Prabhupada is describing how we should see. And so I found a couple of phrases from Prabhupada that to me kind of say in a brief, a koan, you know, like a Zen koan or a sutra, what it is. This from the very last purport to Bhagavad Gita. Is this, nothing is different from Krishna, yet Krishna is different from everything. So what I've done, I memorized it, and I go around saying, nothing is different from Krishna, yet Krishna is different from everything. That's our darshan. We can't, in one way we can't understand it, but we can realize it. Or again, he says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is nothing but Sri Krishna, yet nothing is Sri Krishna save and except his own primeval personality. So two different ways of saying the thing, same thing. Nothing is different from Krishna, yet Krishna is different from everything. So we should have this vision. One time in the early days of the movement, I would go around. We had selling spiritual sky incense to help maintain the temple, and we had a lot of accounts in the hippie district, in the, what were the head shops, these little stores that sold drug paraphernalia and a few other things. They had, of course, incense was big because it masked the smell of marijuana, most of our accounts came from places like that, with the head shops. Really, the head shops were just for laundering drug money, the truth be known. Although I didn't know that at the time. Anyway, so I was going to one of our clients to give them some more incense, and they had drug paraphernalia, and they had a few little things. They had a cooler, and they said, would you like some ice cream? And in those days, I said, no, I wouldn't eat anything that wasn't offered. You know, we were really strict. No, I said, no. And they said, what? Ice cream's God, too. So I was in duality, and they were in oneness. But a sense in which ice cream is God, too. But if I'm going to is it my job to enjoy God? Am I the enjoyer of God? So somewhere Prabhupada said that people want this pantheistic vision. You know, pantheism means nature is God. And this was a philosophy that rose in the West, Spinoza, Deus sive natura, God or nature. And it became very big in the 19th century. The whole everything is divine. So Prabhupada said poets like romantic poets were really into this kind of pantheism. So Prabhupada said people want this pantheistic vision. They want to see God everywhere, everything in God. And then he said, but they do not know if you want to see God everywhere, you have to utilize everything in God's service. And that's a really important point, because everything is connected with God. But when I am engaging everything in my service with the mood of the enjoyer, I am separating it from God. I'm separating myself from God. In the acts of sense gratification, there's really two. There's me and the sense object. And if there's a God, he's off in the distance somewhere, making it all happen. He's my servant too. So to see the world through the eyes of material desire is to see Maya, is to see Krishna not everywhere, because it's mine. So the act of reconnecting with Krishna, that's devotional service. We take our senses, and we take the sense objects and engage them in Krishna service, and therefore they're reconnected. Prabhupada explains this very, very nicely in the Bhagavad Gita 4:24, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagnau Brahmanahutam Brahmaivatena Gantavya Brahma Karma Samadhina. This is literally describing a fire sacrifice. But in that sacrifice, everything becomes Brahman. The offering, the ghee, the fire, what is offered, the procedure, and the result all become Brahman. Prabhupada doesn't translate this in a literal way at all. That's why in the very first edition we had another translation, because Prabhupada's editor kindly supplied. But Prabhupada's translation is done like this. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. So he's generalized it beyond a certain ritual act to the whole principle of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada says here, how activities in Krishna consciousness can lead one ultimately to the spiritual goal as described here. He calls it the principle of Krishna consciousness. We are in the material atmosphere, and whatever act we do is there, is material, with our senses and the sense objects, but still we have to get out. So what is the process? He gives the example of the homeopathic principle of like cures like, so that if you overindulged in milk, you're cured by yogurt. The materially absorbed conditioned soul can be cured by Krishna consciousness, as set forth here in the Gita. This process is generally known as yajna, or activities, sacrifices, simply meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna. So here he's taken the word sacrifice from a particular priestly ritual to a general form of activities simply meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna. The more the activities of the material world are performed in Krishna consciousness or for Vishnu alone, the more the atmosphere becomes spiritualized by complete absorption. The word Brahma or Brahman means spiritual. The Lord is spiritual. And the rays of his transcendental body are called Brahma Jyoti, his spiritual effulgence. Everything that exists is situated in that Brahma Jyoti. But when the Jyoti is covered by illusion, Maya, or sense gratification, it is called material. So sense gratification is the act of converting spirit to matter. That's what it's saying here. Maya, illusion, or sense gratification. The material veil can be removed at once by Krishna consciousness. And now he gives a translation of the verse again. The offering for the sake of Krishna consciousness, the consuming agent of such an offering or contribution, The process of consumption, the contributor, and the result are all combined together, Brahman, or the Absolute Truth. And then he recapitulates, the Absolute Truth covered by Maya is called matter. Matter, dovetailed for the cause of the Absolute Truth, regains its spiritual quality. Krishna consciousness is the process of converting the illusory consciousness into Brahman, or the Supreme. When the mind is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it is said to be in samadhi or trance. Anything done in such transcendental consciousness is called yajna, or sacrifice for the Absolute. And again, he translates the verse, in that condition of spiritual consciousness, the contributor, the contribution, the consumption, the performer or leader of the performance, and the result or ultimate gain, everything become one in the Absolute, the Supreme Brahman. That is the method of Krishna consciousness. So it's the re-spiritualization of matter. And that spiritualization means everything is seen as it really is, connected and in relationship to the Supreme Lord. And when that vision is there, everywhere you look, all you see is Govinda. He's there everywhere. And then this verse here, that a Dira devotee who has the highest vision, Paramartika, vision of things, those people see the whole world as made of Narayan, Narayana Maya. In the same way that a Lubdha, a greedy person, sees the world as dhanamaya, made of wealth. We go and we see a forest. Right? As Prabhupada said once in lecture, don't see a tree, see Krishna. So we see the forest. We say, oh, this is Krishna's forest. And we see it different ways. You know, this tree is made of the spirit soul and this material energy, and Krishna's put him there and his relationship to Krishna. We can see, oh, the trees are the hair on his body from the universal form. And somehow we see this in relationship to Krishna. But a greedy person, he says, how many board feet of timber on here and how much can I get for it in the market? Right? Immediately. That's what he sees. Doesn't see Krishna. Or again, then the other one here is Kamukha Kamani Mayam. A lustful man sees everything is composed of Kamani, sexually active women. That's all he notices. That's what he's looking for. So that person, they have their vision according to their desire, but for a devotee, Narayanamayam, everywhere he sees Narayan. So that's the way we conduct our affairs this way. So this is very important, if because this is not just about a theory. A theological abstruse theory. Theory is really only, it's a guide to practice. And the guide to practice is how to actually be Krishna conscious. And so one has to use everything or see everything in Krishna's service that restores the connection. So the Maya or illusion or the material world, the world that we see through the eyes of sense gratification is not the real world. We don't even see ourselves. We see some other, you know, mechanical contrivance that's walking around. Atasi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriya. When we look at transcendence through the eyes that have been conditioned or modified by sense gratification, we draw a blank. our materially contaminated senses, they cannot, including the mind, they cannot reach the absolute truth. And that, of course, is the origin of Mayavada philosophy. That's the people, their materially contaminated mind and senses look into transcendence and they draw a blank because they're just not capable. Our mind is, and sometimes they have the sense that there's something out there, there's something further, it's really big, it's really important. But I can't say anything about it because it's beyond the range of my ascending perception and thinking. But it's there. But really what they're giving is a report on our ignorance. That because they can't see it, then they have to say, well, it's not this, not this, not that, not that. And they imagine there's some... Well, they think of maybe a kind of amorphous ball of light or something like that. But not really light, because that's something material too, but something like a cloud of gas, a glowing cloud of gas or something like that, trying to think of it. But really, it's not a report of what's there. It's a report of their ignorance. It's taking their own ignorance and making it real. It's the reification of their ignorance and projecting it onto reality. And that will always happen. But the second line, sevan mukhe hi jiva do swayam eva spuracchataha. The same word is spurti, from the same root. Again becomes manifest when with an attitude of service those same senses are engaged in devotional service, then they become enabled to see, to perceive. Because our senses are there on the spiritual platform, their senses are originally meant for the perception of God, that's why they're there. Even our language is meant for describing. The speculators, they say, language is a human invention. It's here in the world. We use it for our commerce and trafficking with material objects. And then when we try to use our language to describe what is beyond the world, it doesn't work. We're just like taking a rubber band and stretching it and stretching it and stretching it, and then finally it breaks. We can't say nothing. That's their philosophy. But it's based on this idea that the language comes from this world. Well, where does everything come from? Janmadasyataha. It comes from Krishna. So it can't be as such incompetent, but the original function of language is to describe the Supreme Lord. And the original function of our senses are to perceive and to serve the Lord. But now we've put them to sinister purposes in the material world. We were engaging them in this acts of sense gratification, and we become incompetent. We're disabled. We're spiritually disabled people. We're deaf, dumb, blind, We can't see God, hear God, taste God, anything. But when the senses are connected with Krishna in devotional service, then again becomes his name, form, qualities, pastimes become manifest. And so the devotee sees Krishna everywhere. It's a mystery because here, even in the material world, one sees everything in relationship to Krishna. Doesn't exactly see their forms, but at the same time, he knows that the tree, Prabhupada said, don't see a tree, see Krishna, but it doesn't mean that the tree is God. But you see in relationship to Krishna, everything. And the vision of Krishna is so strong, that's the really overwhelming thing. Krishna, a materialist Krishna is invisible. As we become Krishna conscious, more Krishna conscious, he starts to come out of the background and become more and more into the foreground until finally he's really there in the front. And everything else is sort of in the background and seen in relationship to Krishna, his different material and spiritual energies all working together. And then at that place, here you're in the material world, it is what it is. We see it's, Prabhupada said, it's made for suffering. But a devotee who has this vision, Vishva Purna Sukhayate, Prabodhananda says, the whole universe appears full of happiness because they're seeing Krishna. Sure, there's some misery there, but what do we have to do for those people? Wait, hey, look, wake up. Just open your eyes. See, there he is. It's all right. No problem. We try to do that too. Let's see in this verse, anything else, Prabhupada? Oh, he mentions this Daridra Narayana. This is a, he says, a manufactured by some unscrupulous person. Prabhupada, in, at least in writing, would not name names. But it's a famous sannyasi in the Ramakrishna mission, came to the West. 1893 and so on. So they concocted this Daridra Narayan on the basis of, I think, trying to compete with Christian charitable activities. These are all people who officially say their philosophy is Mayavad philosophy, and therefore the whole world is totally devalued, down to nothing, less than nothing. It's just not there. And then all of a sudden they're doing charitable work because they want to want to be known as or compete with the charitable work of Baptist missionaries and other people who are saying, you know, Hinduism doesn't care anything about the poor people and so on. And so many now he had to take this good karma and try to make it part of their transcendental system. Because it's actually a karma kanda activity. Doesn't mean it's evil, but it needs to go on. But it's not. It's not that we object to helping poor people or opening hospitals and all those things. It's that if we have the highest solution, the ultimate solution to people's material unhappiness, and so few people, all kinds of people are opening hospitals. Bill Gates is doing more for disease than any of us will ever do. Let them do it. But the ultimate solution to the disease of material existence is Krishna consciousness. How many people can give that out? There's just a handful of us. Why? What we don't need, the other stuff is really people are doing. So we should do this. If we're just doing that, then who will be left to give Krishna consciousness? We are also charitable. But Prabhupada called Krishna consciousness the highest welfare work. He said welfare work means to want to relieve your neighbors of their miseries. We certainly do. But not in such a way that it'll just go on increasing their miseries. We actually want to free them. But anyway, they wanted to do this welfare work. And so there was this concoction to kind of Hinduize or Vedize this Daridra Narayan. We are serving Narayan in the form of the poor man, the poor person. That was it. And of course behind is the idea that we're all God, you're God, I'm God, everyone's God. And somehow or other this is your pastime, to lie with tuberculosis in the streets of Calcutta. A lot of a real glorious pastime, anyway. So he says to single like Daridra Narayan and regret the Dhani Narayan. So when Prabhupada came to the West, he was concerned about the Dhani Narayan. All these rich people are suffering. Who's gonna have charity to those people? Bill Gates needs some help. So that's our mission, to really give people the see everyone as a in relationship to Krishna. Everyone is a servant of Krishna, and everyone, no one will be ultimately fulfilled until they come to that position. As Prahlad, of course, we see later on how much he cares about the people who are chasing Maya Sukha, illusory happiness. I'm concerned about them, he says to Srinadeva. Any comments, questions?
Yes, Prabhu.
So basically you have described impersonalists as lusty or desirous to enjoy, and therefore, because they're related in such a way to Krishna's energy, they can't see, they can't have a spiritual vision. However, we find...
I've described materialists like that.
Oh, but you said that the... might have misheard it.
No, the materialists, they see... There's two ways of seeing things separate from Krishna. Materials. One way is Krishna's out of the way, and you know everything is here for my enjoyment. The whole world is this banquet set out here for me to just dig in and enjoy. Where's God? Nowhere. The other separation is by the impersonalists. There, they're absorbed in transcendence. The material world is evil, disgusting, false. There's no happiness, no anything. Completely opposite vision, but still they've disconnected with Krishna.
Yeah, I apologize, man. What I understood was that you have described materialists in such a way, but also that Mayavadis are like that too. Therefore, when they look at varieties of Brahman, they see nothing. They see this glowing gas.
Yeah, when they want to look at transcendence, yeah, they can't see any variety in it.
So. In several places Srila Prabhupada describes, like for example in the 15th Bhagavatam, Prabhupada gives him credit, he says that he calls them transcendentalists.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they have realized that the material world as they see it, the world of Maya, there's no happiness, and that the only happiness is by renouncing all attempts to enjoy the world and try for transcendence. So here's the thesis: the material world is here for me to enjoy. It's full of varieties of things for me to enjoy. I've enjoyed it for so many years now, and I realize there's no happiness here. So then I reject the world, and I reject name, form, qualities, pastimes, because all I know is the world. And though, so here's the antithesis. There's just Brahman. I see that all my activities are the cause of bondage, so in Brahman there are no activities. I see that name, form, and quality are limiting and restrictive, so there's no name, form, quality, and so on. That's the antithesis. So there's one step further. When there's bhakti, the world comes back. It's not the world that's enjoyed by the karmis, nor is it the world that's rejected by the gyanis. It's the real world. It's the world that's got Krishna's energy.
Can I ask one more question related to it?
Yeah.
Could we say then that to the degree one's freed from this desire to enjoy, or being repelled by the desire to enjoy, to the degree it's free from that, to that degree you'll have genuine transcendental realization? So could we say that impersonalists, because if Srila Krishna discovers Goswami calls everyone besides devotees kami, in other words, they have material desire. So could we say that these impersonalists have their desire is lesser than the desire of materialists, gross karmas or vikarmas? Therefore, they have some transcendental realization, but it's impersonal.
Yeah, that's right. They can come up to the level of Brahman. We have no problem with the Brahmavadis. It's when this impersonalism gets read as the Mayavad philosophy. In other words, that Krishna is made of Maya. So the four Kumaras, even Shukadeva Goswami, they were Brahmavadnas. And if they come into contact with Krishna, at least they develop knowledge of Krishna in the Shantaras, usually. That's what happens. But the ones who say that Krishna is Maya, or that I am Krishna, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says about these, they take birth as stones or trees on account of being so greedy. They still want to be the greatest. They still want to be, I'm trying to be God in this world. I got my God projects going on. I'm becoming the president, the king, the prime minister, the boss, the guy with six girlfriends. I'm the supreme enjoyer. And finally I become disgusted. I go to spiritual life. Now I become God. So it is another phase of Maya in that sense. And if you think that therefore Krishna cannot, Krishna, yeah, he's made of Maya too, you know, then you become an offender. But the Brahmavadnas have turned away from the material world and sought for seeking for transcendence, but they're not really so much carrying over their God project to this. Okay? Yes, Prabhu?
The word Ekanta Bhakti has a different connotation in a different sloka that Sruti Smuti Puranadi Pancharatri Ki Vidivana Ekanti Ki Harir Bhakti Devalam Utpataya Kalpate. That is opposite connotation, Ekanti Ki Harir Bhakti, without reference to the Sruti Smriti or Purana, and actually quite opposite.
If you're trying to practice pure devotion, but you're doing it without reference to the authorized scriptures, then it creates havoc. Right? Isn't that what it says?
Yeah, but ekantika means here Prabhupada translates unalloyed.
Unalloyed. Means without bhakti, without being mixed by anything with anything else. That's one meaning of bhakti. But the literal meaning, eka anta, one end. So my pure devotion or unalloyed devotion is there's no other end. There's no contamination of karma, jnana, yoga. I'm not mukti, bhukti, siddhi, kami. That's the ekanta. Yes, Maharaj.
You, with the Brahmarpanam, Brahmahadiya verse, you explained it actually refers to yajna, and Prabhupada expanded the yajna principle to acts of Krishna consciousness. Somebody that I know that's a professor is involved with Chandra's modern in India. And when they, before they take their meals, they recite that verse.
Yeah.
We were saying,
and
by the way, in Sringari Math, we say, Varmanam Brahma. As you were explaining the verse, I was thinking, reading the purport, everything enters into transcendence. Yeah. So, could you expand on how not a Brahmavadi, but a Mayavadi can think the act of eating?
Sure. Because I am God, and when I eat, I'm doing devotional service. Yeah. When it says to give everything to Krishna, if I put it in my pocket, I've given it to Krishna. I think that's the way it works.
Maharaj? Yeah, another, just a comment that you were giving the example of the rubber band stretching, and then it's just like nothing. So, if they want to be consistent, they shouldn't say it.
That's right. I had one guy came down to me. He came to actually sat in, you know, the Sunday feast in the 60s, right? And people were having Mayavad realizations on LSD, and the guy said to me, words are meaningless. And I just said, then shut up. Your philosophy is so bad, it can't even be spoken.
But instead, you're writing books.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's time to go. We got the hook here. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.